नमो ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णकृपाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी इति नाम्ने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवार्थकाय निर्विशेषाश्रयादि हरे कृष्ण. Generally on Sundays you have off or what? Generally you have off. So today that's where the attendance is.
Also because we were only told at 7 o'clock.
This morning is we do not have
it. I thought we all but we have a day off today at
7 o'clock. Oh, I see. And you know what happened today? There are two classes.
Yes.
Yeah. So what I'll do is I'll just give one class today, not two. Because so few devotees are here. And probably it'll also be better not to go to the verses. Rather, should we reiterate the previous 2 days' classes? Or? Because I'm wondering, like, at least half is missing, if you can. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Okay. Anyway, let's see. Actually, you know, the objective of this kind of classes is not to become the master of this topic. I make it very clear that the purpose of these classes is to give an overview of the topic and generate some interest so that you keep on reading these books on an ongoing basis. So that is the real purpose. Well, individuals are trickling in gradually. And yeah, he came and asked me this morning, what's his name? But he was wondering whether I would give the class this morning, and he asked me actually. 7 o'clock, and I thought I would give the class because today is two classes, but I don't know why, since it's a Sunday, they put two classes. Oh, right, because the other days, Vijayaditya Maharaj is giving the class right after. Maybe I can make some sort of adjustment with Vijayaditya Maharaj.
Yeah.
Like maybe one, because he's here for a long time. So one day I swap with him.
Okay, you have two classes another day.
Another day instead of today. Right.
It's pretty tight because he was due to stay until the end of January. He's living mid-January, so it's been compressed. But still, there's more leeway there.
Right. Anyway, let's see how it goes. Actually, Upadeshamrita, as I said, like, we should read this book on an ongoing basis, preferably every day. Because that way, we get welcome. Good. Anyway, so
the response is better.
Now we have a quorum to start the class. You know what a quorum is? For a meeting, you have to have the majority to start the meeting. If you don't have the majority of the members attending the meeting, you can't start the meeting. Quorum. Q-U-A-R-A. Q-U-O-R-A.
You can prepare another meeting, but you can't vote on it.
Yeah.
That's also another.
Right, so what's the point in having a meeting if you can't vote?
If you have a quorum, you can't vote.
What's that?
If you have a quorum.
No, now we have. We not only have a quorum, we have a forum now.
So we can vote.
Yeah. Okay, just briefly let's go over last couple of days. The first verse, what is the first verse reminding us, instructing us? The first verse, how many of you know? Okay, how many of you memorized the first verse? Please raise your hands. Okay, Harihar, what happened? Okay, difficulty with Sanskrit? Okay. Endeavor. Right.
Answer.
Yeah, try. Sorry, can I remember?
Many other activities.
Many other activities.
Yeah. Sorry, Rama. Think of Guru. Yoga.
Who can tell you anything? You have given the dynamite excuse.
Sorry.
Anyway, I know it will be difficult, but we have to make an endeavor. After all, what is the purpose of memorizing? I was telling you the other day. You'll notice when you grow up, when you become old, or rather, when you grow, you know, like older you become, more difficult it becomes to memorize. When you're young, it's easier. Therefore, we should actually study very, very diligently when you're young. Therefore, it is important, or rather, it's beneficial if we can start our Krishna consciousness at an early age. It really helps. Starting it at an early age. And anyway, there is, and the thing is, as I mentioned the other day, like, our business is not to become scholars. But you say, as a teacher, what I have to do? I have to push you. If I don't push you, then I'm not doing my job. And, but at the same time, I understand. Are you prepared to fall asleep? You know, what's the distance between unconsciousness and Krishna consciousness? It's very little, actually. You know, this is material consciousness, and when the material consciousness is zero, then that is the state of unconsciousness. And beyond that region of unconsciousness is the region of Krishna consciousness.
Some of the yogis say that the unconscious state is like a Surya state.
Yeah, that's the thing, you see. The problem is, we become unconscious, that is, we become unconscious of the material nature, and we fall asleep. But when you wake up, we wake up back in this region. But if somehow or other, we can wake up in the other region, we'll find ourselves in the spiritual
state. I'll just draw a graph.
We have done that. Graph. This is the zero axis. This line is zero, and this side is negative, and this side is positive. Right? Now, negative side is negative. And the positive side is? Spiritual. Spiritual. what is this one? Sleep. But the problem is, we in sleep, see, this is a wakeful state. Wakeful. Right? When you are awake, we are in the negative side. This is the region of sleep. And this is Krishna consciousness. It can it can be also Brahman realized state and impersonal Brahman realization also will fall in that category. So that's why we like to sleep so much. But then again, the consideration is sleep is temporary death, isn't it? Sleep is like death. See, we love to sleep, but we are afraid of death. Why? Are you afraid of death? You have to think so much. Why? Because of ignorance. If we really knew what death is, we'd be rather happy, as Krishna is pointing out in Bhagavad Gita. I mean, you are going to, after death, you are going to get another body. Right? You'll be reborn. And when you wake up, when you are reborn, you'll get a new body. So if getting rid of this old body, if you get a new body, isn't it a good proposal? Instead of your new old car, if you get a new car, don't you like that idea?
Because what kind of body?
That's a good question. Yeah. So when you want to change your old car for a new car, what do you do? Don't you make all kinds of plans? Look at the catalogs, go to the internet, check out, and which is a good price and how to get that one, and then you also keep the money in the bank, right? Therefore, similarly, in order to get a new body, a proper new body next life, what do you have to do? Jason? Prepare yourself when you are alive. How we act in this life, how we prepare ourselves in this life, accordingly, we'll get a next body. So, and Krishna consciousness guarantees us a most wonderful body. Right? So, yeah, to go back to that point, what's the difference between sleep and death?
In death, we wake up with another body.
And in sleep? Very good. In sleep, we wake up in this body. Right? But in death, after death, we wake up in a new body, another body. That's the only difference about sleep and death. And because we are not aware, I forgot your name. Your name is?
Subhasha.
As Subhasha Prabhu said, that we don't know what kind of body we'll get, the next body. But we can know what kind of body we'll get if we really prepare ourselves well. Another consideration is that if you know that you have a father and he is very rich, and when he sees that your car is old, what will he do? Do you have to worry about what kind of car you have to buy? Your father will give you the car, right? And when he buys the car for you, boy, he's going to be a fantastic one. Similarly, we have a father, Krishna. And he knows what kind of car we really need, what kind of machine we need, what kind of body we really need.
That should be exciting.
That's most exciting. And right. Like, it is doubly exciting. Not only getting a new car, but you know, like, you don't really know that the car is there. But you know, on your birthday, your father just says, look, come out with me, and he gives you the key. He says, go out into the drive and see. I have something for you. And then you walk out there and see. what a wonderful car is waiting for you. So similarly, we'll find after our death, we'll find, oh, what a beautiful car is, a beautiful body is waiting for you, waiting for us. So that's where Krishna consciousness is so reassuring. And Krishna consciousness actually gives us immortality. We don't die. We simply change our bodies. And eventually we go back to the spiritual sky, you know, spiritual identity. While you're studying Nectar of Instruction, just to understand that. And just to prepare ourselves for that. So what is the most important objective in our life? That has been pointed out in the first verse of Nectar of Instruction. To become a devotee of Krishna. And what is the duty of the devotee of Krishna? Especially the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What's the duty of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers? To preach. And to preach, in order to preach, what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say? That you become guru on my order. In my order you become a guru. So preacher means a guru. It's not that you have to have an approval from the GBC to be a guru. You are a guru. You all are, those who are preaching, you all are gurus. And devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are gurus. Amar Agai Guru Hindu Taru Ete. And what is the duty of a guru? To deliver everybody. To deliver everybody. Not just some formal initiation. Formal initiation is not important. What is important is guidance. What is important is teaching. So, when we are preaching to the devotees, when you are preaching to the conditioned soul, we are assuming the responsibility of the guru. When you are preaching to the spirit soul, we are actually guiding them on the path of spiritual. So that is the responsibility of the spiritual. Now, this verse is actually describing the qualification of a spiritual master. What is the qualification of a spiritual master? He must control the six urges. Because these urges motivate us to become involved in the material nature. So these urges that lead us to the materialistic way of life, that should be avoided. And avoiding this, what we have to do? We have to become situated spiritually. That is, like the urge to speak. How do we conquer the urge to speak? The urge to speak. You tell us.
By engaging Krishna consciousness.
Very good. Very good. By engaging ourselves in speaking about Krishna and instructing about Krishna. Then we don't need to stop. We can speak for 24 hours a day. And the more we speak, better it will be for us and others. So that these are the positive activities. How do we overcome the negative tendencies? How do we overcome the negative tendencies? By being engaged in a positive way. And what is that positive way? The positive way is Krishna consciousness. Jat karosi jadasnasi jat juhasi dadasi jat jat tapushoshi kanteya tat kurushya madhasa. Whatever we do, whatever we eat, whatever austerities we perform, whatever we give in charity, all must be done for the sake of Krishna's pleasure. for the sake of Krishna. So that is the way to overcome the negative tendency. There are these vegas, there are these urges, the urges to speak, the urge of the mind, urge of anger, and then the urge of the tongue and belly and genitals. But by engaging them in Krishna's service, we overcome. But the last one is actually a matter of conquering. The urge of the genitals have to be conquered, especially the only the positive application of that is for the household. But for brahmacharis and grihasthas and vanaprasthas, they have to. Brahmacharis, vanaprasthas and sannyasis, that have to be overcome, that have to be conquered. This is one urge that we cannot, especially the brahmacharis, vanaprasthas and sannyasis, cannot apply in Krishna consciousness. But otherwise, everything has its positive counterpart. Speak about Krishna, think about Krishna, and if there is an offender who is offending Krishna and his devotees, use your anger in them. Then tongue can be conquered by taking Krishna prasad. And when we take Krishna prasad in moderation, that is not for the sake of our tongue, but as a service to Krishna, honoring the Krishna, then the belly will automatically become satisfied, and the genitals urge will grow.
This is the end of all this study. I never come in a situation where the devotees get offended from Krishna. And still, you see, angry with all the people.
Yeah. No, this anger is not that I am angry, so I have to utilize it. Anger is a thing that will be utilized only for that, not for me. You get my thing? Like, not that I am angry, and now let me find that who is offending, and let me let it out on him. It's not that. Like, basically a devotee is peaceful. He is composed. But if there is such a reason to be angry, he uses the anger.
He
is allowed to be.
Otherwise he is not allowed.
Yeah.
He becomes angry, he is still.
Well, you see, the devotional platform also has two stages. One is the practicing stage and one is the perfect stage. In practicing stage, you know, our shortcomings, our deficiencies, our lackings, our defects may become manifest. So that should be taken very seriously. Because we are practiced in the practicing stage, it will happen. So, you know, Prabhupada is saying, when you're cleaning the room, some dirt will fly. So, if some dirt is flying, that doesn't mean that the room is becoming dirty. The dirt is flying means the room is being cleaned. Therefore, in a practicing stage, some dirt may fly. That shouldn't be taken seriously. But in the perfected stage, yes, they won't be there. But at the same time, for the sake of service, one may utilize them. Just like, you know, generally a devotee may not use a gun. But for Krishna's service, if necessary, he picks up the gun and uses it. Not that he goes out of his way to use it, but because it is needed in Krishna's service, he uses it. Yes, yes.
Sometimes people develop a one of the what I've heard referred to as a sour attitude towards
What attitude?
Sour attitude.
Sour attitude.
And I'll be critical of what we know in this school. But I don't know whether to.
Good point. Yeah. To get angry or not.
Yeah.
You see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually suggested that we avoid violence in that message. That is the reason Mahaprabhu did not come in this appearance, he did not come with any weapon. He came, you know, to conquer the demoniac tendencies by love. So that is Mahaprabhu's mission. Why Mahaprabhu did not use weapon in this age? Because this age is so precarious, so dangerous, that if we take up weapons, there won't be any need to it. If we get into conflict, there won't be any end to it. Like, you get angry with somebody, you start a quarrel, then he slaps you. Then you retaliate by punching him. Then he comes back with a knife, you come with a spear. He comes with a gun, you come with a machine gun. He comes with a cannon. There's no end to it, you know. Therefore, Mahaprabhu's suggestion is just withdraw. Don't get involved in violence. Because once you resort to violence, then the condition of this world is so difficult. And another thing is, in the Vedic society, this establishing law and order through this system of, you know, using force was done by the Kshatriyas. And they were trained to use them. So the Kshatriyas would do that. But in this age, there is no Kshatriya. So mostly Sudras, they don't know how to fight. They don't know how to fight. And in this age, it's difficult to fight because they don't have any valor, any honor in their fighting. Like in the other ages, the Kshatriyas would, you know, face each other and fight. Right? And sometimes, you know, like, and they would not attack you from the back. They would just face you, fight with you face to face. They were so noble that they would use the same kind of weapon, at least in the Vedic time. Like, if somebody is using the sword, he will use sword. If somebody is using a mace, he will use the mace. So that is how noble those people were. But now what is happening? Somebody is hiding behind a bush and using a gun. And not even that, you know, like they have created all these machines, all these means to, you know, of mass destruction. So, you know, like, who are you to fight with? Like, you may be a very courageous and chivalrous person, and you may be, you know, going to face with him, but, you know, like, that person, you know, just seeing you, he runs away. But then comes behind you and shoots you from the back. How are you going to face this kind of situation? So that's why Mahaprabhu said, don't fight. Tolerate. Just tolerate and offer your love if you can. And with love, you conquer their violent attitude. And Krishna consciousness is that love. It's not our love, it's Krishna's love. And that stirs up the soul in the body, in the heart. Here, in the fourth verse, Prabhupada is mentioning that how the chanting of the holy name is the greatest beneficial act. And this act doesn't benefit only the human beings. It benefits even the animals, birds, reptiles, trees and plants. You chant the holy name in a remote place, the animals will benefit from it. And we have seen like how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made these animals dance when he was traveling through the forest of Jharkhand. Can you imagine the animals heard Mahaprabhu chanting? And as a result of that, they started to dance in ecstasy. So, in this age, we don't resort to any kind of violence. Tolerate. Somebody hits you. Like, remember Jesus Christ. He's praying to the Father, God the Father, to forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And see what they were doing to him. They crucified him. And before crucifying him, they beat him up brutally. Tortured him so badly. In normal condition, how a person would react? He would curse them. But look at him. Now that is a devotee. That's a devotee. Like although he is brutally tortured, although he is practically pushed to the verge of death, but still he is praying for their welfare to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, Haridas Thakur, treated with such brutality, but he is praying to the Lord for their welfare. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna, actually released his Sudarshan Chakra. He wanted to release the Sudarshan Chakra to kill these offenders, but the chakra couldn't do anything. Because Haridas Thakur was wishing them well. Because the devotee was wishing well. That's why the chakra became ineffective. The Lord couldn't do anything. So that is how wonderful and forgiving the devotees are. And then consider, these people, those who have been beating him brutally, they came and told him that, look, if we fail to kill you, then the Nawab, the king, will kill us. Because that would mean that we disobeyed his order. He wouldn't understand what happened. If he finds out that we didn't kill you, then we'll be killed. We'll be punished to death. Then Haridas Thakur spoke to him, I'll die. And he just laid down, and his body stopped functioning. There was no sign of life. But the body became so heavy that when they tried to lift it up, couldn't lift it up. It was a miraculous incident. So many people were trying to lift him up. And then they were crying, oh, we can't lift your body. It's so heavy. So his body became light. Now how can one display such tolerance and forgiveness? Tell me how. Because his consciousness is not in his body. He is not in his body consciousness. That's why he can display such tolerance and forgiveness. Because he is not being affected what they are doing to the body. Like if you are not attached to the shirt and somebody does something to the shirt, will you get upset about it? No. So similarly, because they are not in their body consciousness, whatever others are doing to their body is not really affecting them at all. Right? So,
you are telling us that you know that real extent of forgiveness and tolerance, this is an extent. But sometimes, from my places, I was doing a project, my commitment is towards the project. Say, completing the list of the mirror. Then I find that all. And when I my dog, he came on the street. And it took me a long time to bring a lot of steel to the culture. And then they don't do the job. So it's nature that an anger comes. Like, you know how to cover a dead space. Then the very next day, even after you be humble towards your work, it's something. They're the same, they laugh and so then it says, there's one knot which is committed. There's another
law. Yeah, then the answer will be yes. Get angry, but get the service done. For the sake of rendering service, you can get angry, you can be, you can have some defect. So here, service is more important. And this service, the execution of service, will justify everything. You're getting angry for what? For service. Right? So that is all that. Anger, yes, this is anger in Krishna consciousness. So what's the problem? But don't get unnecessarily angry. Unnecessarily angry means, well, I mean, because the work hasn't been done and you are chastising somebody, that's fine. But just for the sake of chastising, or just for the sake of your sense gratification, oh, I feel great, you know, when I blast somebody. So let me blast everybody, left, right, and center. Now that should be. On our part, we should try to be composed. So then the next verse, who remembers? There are six.
Yes.
Six impediments.
Till
the verse. Yes.
Atyaraha Vyasasya Vichartum Yamartha Achana Sandasya Goyamcha Sadhya Bhakti Bhakti Bhakti
Sarvi
Bhakti Bhakti Vinyasa.
Very good. So how many of you have memorized this verse? Raise your hands, please. Okay, very good. So these are the things, these six activities are detrimental to devotional service or destroys our devotion to it. Right? Atyahar, eating too much. Right? Eating too much would mean body consciousness, sense gratification. Of all the senses, which one is most powerful and difficult to control? Shariravidyajal Charendriya Tahikal Vivekale Vishay Shale. Tar Mudde Jubha Oti. Jubha means the tongue. Tar Mudde Jubha Oti Lohomoy Shudur Mati. It's very avaricious, very greedy. Wicked. His moti means mentality. And durmati means bad. And sudurmati means very bad. His mentality is very bad. He's wicked. Sudurmati. Takejata Krishna. To conquer him is very difficult. that Krishna Varadaya mind, Kodi Bhadi Juha Jai Shri Krishna Dhananjaya. Krishna is very merciful. So in order to conquer our tongue, Krishna has given his Krishna. So in this way, we can receive Krishna's mercy in order to control our tongue, which is the most difficult to control. Of all the senses, tongue is the most difficult to control.
And then it says that we control the tongue, then the others are.
Right, yeah. If you control the tongue, then the other senses also will become controlled. If you can control your eating habit, then other tendencies will also become controlled, subdued. Yes.
Which was talked some years ago that you follow the because you were religiously.
Follow what?
Follow Ekadasi very religiously. Who told you? I try to. Because, okay, one thing is that, you see, we eat every day and we tend to overeat. Right? Generally, we tend to overeat. But after a fortnight, if we can give our stomach a break, a tongue a break, that is helpful. So that's why I try to. And this is the apparent reason, I mean, you can say the mundane reason. But of course, the spiritual reason is that observing Ekadasi is one of the ways to win the favor of Krishna, to please Krishna. Krishna becomes pleased when we observe Ekadasi. So, this is a way to please Krishna, therefore, it's nice to observe it.
How would you recommend your approach? As far as what should be the, I know we don't make introduction, the fasting is not the most important, but we should try and talk about faith and love for Krishna. But it seems that, like, you know, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, and Prabhupada also said in the beginning, you know, the devotees, sometimes they don't have food, water, and sleep on the devotee, and then follow celibacy for 3 days.
Celibacy, why 3 days? Throughout the year. And well, for householders. The thing is, the way to observe Ekadasi, as it has been described in Hari Bhakti Vilas, is that the day before Ekadasi, you just eat once. On the Ekadasi day, you fast fully, even from water. And also don't sleep on that day and night. Stay up the night chanting the holy name. And chant all the time. We used to remember early days. Right. We started this course Institute of Higher Education in Vrindavan, called VIHE in 87. We started that. Vasudev Prabhu also was there in that 88. It was in 88. 88 or 87? No, we started at 87. Yeah. Maybe you came on 88. In the first group you were on. There were quite a few of them. Quite a few of you were from France. Nitai Gaur-Sundar.
Vaishnava etiquette.
Okay.
Conductor of devotion.
Okay.
Okay. The child is still there. Oh. I don't know if it has been
And that time we actually started this. Tamal Krishna Maharaj also was there. So we all, with all the students, we were observing Ekadasi without taking even water, and chanting 64 rounds and staying up the whole night.
We stayed together the whole night.
Right, yeah.
And then go to
Mongolarati. No, then breakfast. And then go to sleep. And breakfast with milk. Yeah, almost 20 years just went by. So, it says that observing Ekadasi is one of the way to please Krishna.
It was part of the course.
Was it? No. It was not a part of the course. It was voluntary actually. But everyone was joining. Those spirits were so high actually. So, controlling, to overcome these six hindrances to our spiritual life is very right, Emmanuel? Huh? What's the first one that causes us difficulties? Atyahar. Then prayahar. Atyahar can mean two things. Yeah. Eating too much or overcoming. Prayasya is endeavor to accumulate. And prajalpa means mundane
gossip.
Niyamagraha, this word has two connotations. One is becoming too much concerned about following the rules and regulations, and the other is not to follow the rules. Niyamagraha and Janasangasya, mundane association, Lolamcha, to be greedy, and these six, Sadhi Bhakti Vinashyati. Vinashyati means destroy. These six things destroy one's devotion. Then now let's go to the third verse. What's the third verse? Okay. Yeah. I forgot your name again. Gaura Bhagavan. Lord Bhagavan, you live in Mayapur.
I was four years best in Maharaj's group after the Maharaj's group from 2000.
Yeah.
And the last 6 years I've just been coming visiting everybody.
Oh, so you're not staying in Mayapur?
No.
That's why I don't see you now. So, the six things are, did you all prepare yourself, did you all do your homework, studied at home? Okay, and how many of you memorized the verse? You didn't memorize?
I know the Sanskrit. But
yeah.
I know the translation.
Okay, you know the Sanskrit.
Yeah.
Say it. What's your name?
Risha.
Yeah, I have to recollect the name again. The first day I got the names, and then gradually is broken, now I have to revive the memory. We shall be with us. Your parents are devotees, right? Who are your parents?
They were devotees. My mother is Mahasi Ganga.
Okay.
And my father is a Holy Mishra. They're both teachers.
Okay. What's his name?
Rishabh.
No, your father's name?
My father, a Holy Mishra.
Ahavari
Narasami,
is
that right? Yeah, he's from France.
Yeah. Oh, I see. And you've been in Gurukul for how many years?
7 years.
7 years. Yeah, I know. Little boy. Yeah. So, now, do you all remember the formula for memorizing? So let's see. First word of the first line. Risha will lead us into this. First word of the first line.
It's
okay, that's the whole line.
Utsaham nishchayadhyaya.
That's okay. Then what's the first word of the second line? Okay, no. Okay, let us follow Risha. First line, Risha.
Utsaham nishchayadhyaya.
Okay, let's repeat
it. Utsaham nishchayadhyaya. Utsaham nishchayadhyaya. Utsaham nishchayadhyaya.
Why do you have to look at the book?
Tathat karma pravartana.
Sangha tyagat sato vritte.
Sangha tyagat sato vritte.
Very good. So did it help to memorize? Don't look at the book, because if you look at the book, then you are not really trying to retain it. You hear and then you repeat. And by repeating, it will help you to retain. Okay, Utsahat means? Yes, Hari Bhakti Vilas Prabhu.
Enthusiasm.
Nishchayat, Gaur Bhagavan.
Confidence.
Okay, confidence. Dhaijat,
patience.
Tattat Karma Pravartana. Utsaha Nishchaya Dhaija Tattat Karma Pravartana.
Various activities, devotional service, like remembering, hearing,
The activities of devotional service. To be engaged in those activities. Tattat Karma Pravartana, then Sangat Tyaga. Harihar, what's the meaning of the word Sangat Tyaga? Make an effort, right? Sangha Tyaga means?
Sangha means association, Tyaga means
reject that. Rejecting that. And Satobritti means? Okay, I love Gaur Bhagavan. Sat means?
To act in a not a way.
Okay.
Follow the footsteps of the previous acharya.
Follow the footsteps of the previous acharya.
I heard that translation of someone said every day means to, to conduct your life in a mode of fitness, not.
So, but anyway, right here, the meaning actually, Satobritta means to, reject bad association and follow the right association. What is the right association? The right association is our acharyas who have been guiding us in this way. Utsahan nishchayat dhaijat tattat karma pravartanat sangat tyaga satobritte sadbhir bhakti prasiddhati. Prasiddhati means, prasiddha means?
Self.
Yeah, becomes
self
achieved. Prasiddhati, like through these six activities, or these activities are favorable to developing Krishna consciousness. Did you all read the purport? Oh, this book I got printed. I'll bring it tomorrow. It'll be helpful. You can. She did a very good job, actually. Okay, let me follow this up. Like, I'll show you how she has done that. So, this is the page that she has done. Devotional service is not a matter of sentimental speculation or imaginative expectation. This is taken from Prabhupada's purport. Its substance is practical activity. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Bhakti is a sort of cultivation. It engages us in 9 devotional processes and other meaningful devotional activities. Hearing is the first step in acquiring transcendental knowledge. We must hear from a bona fide guru. Then, under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master, one has to make everything favorable for Krishna's purpose. So, the attitude, there are 2 types of. She classified them in 2 categories. 3 are falling in the category of attitude and 3 are falling in the category of behavior. So on the category of attitude comes utsaha, enthusiasm. Then nishchayat means to have the confidence. And dhoijat means patience. So these 3 are attitude, enthusiasm, confidence, and patience. And follow the regulative principles of bhakti, that's the 4. Then 5 is abandon association of non-devotees and follow in footsteps of previous acharyas. These 3 are in the category of behavior. Right? So, if one strictly follows the advice given in this verse by Srila Rupa Goswami, namely, being enthusiastic, being confident, being patient, giving up the association of unwanted persons, following the regulative principles and remaining in the association of devotees, one is sure to advance in devotional service. One is sure to advance. If we do that, then we are positively going to make spiritual advancement. And now let us consider what Prabhupada is making some points in the purport. So these points are also relevant about enthusiasm. Prabhupada is describing endeavor executed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness is called utsaha, enthusiasm. Endeavor means, Rishabh was the meaning of the English word endeavor.
Try sincerely to the best of your
ability. Yeah, endeavor, the word endeavor itself means to make an effort to achieve something. To do something, to get something, to achieve something. Now, when the endeavor is made with, when the endeavor is made with intelligence for Krishna consciousness, then it is called utsaha, enthusiasm. So, unintelligent endeavor, will it be utsaha? No. An unintelligent endeavor is stupid. Yes, you
can get this enthusiasm. Is it something
that I would enjoy by myself in order to perform devotional service, or is it something that comes naturally and that will require progress?
The enthusiasm, you know, everything can be of two types. And there can be material enthusiasm. But there, that is not being expressed. Enthusiasm here means doing things with great eagerness in Krishna consciousness. That is enthusiasm. Like, for example, during the marathon time, devotees become so enthusiastic to distribute books. They become so enthusiastic to distribute books is that they wake up very early in the morning so that they won't have to stand in the queue to use the bathroom. Many temples don't have so many bathrooms that they have to. Many devotees have to use the bathroom and you have to wait. So they wake up early to quickly, you know, use the bathroom. That otherwise, if you have to stand in the queue, so much time will be wasted. Then finish your round, take your bath, finish your round, attend the morning program. Sometimes they don't even take prasad, because if you take prasad, your body will feel heavy. You'll feel sleepy. So they'll just go straight to the field to distribute books. You remember Vasudev, those days?
Yeah. I didn't last very long.
Okay. But at least you remember those.
Yes.
Hari Bhakti Vilas Prabhu also is laughing. Isn't it? And so that is enthusiasm. That's enthusiasm. Well, now that what you are doing, you know, studying Bhakti Shastri, you came from far off lands, came to Mayapur, attending the classes so diligently. Right? So this is enthusiasm. It's chanting 15 rounds year after year. It's so much enthusiasm. Trying to distribute Krishna consciousness with so much enthusiasm. That is it. And then the next point is nishchayat. Nishchayat means to be confident that I'll derive spiritual benefit. I'll make my life perfect. So enthusiasm may subside. It happens with enthusiasm. Like sometimes we are very enthusiastic and sometimes we are not so enthusiastic. Right? Sometimes we think that today I am going to chant 64 rounds. So you chant 64 rounds. And then you feel, oh, yesterday I chanted 48 extra rounds. Today I can take a break. Or one may think that, well, I'm practicing Krishna consciousness for so long, but what's happening? I'm not making any attention. It doesn't really work. It's not really going to purify me and take me back to God. So why am I wasting my time? Does thoughts like that come? Then we should be completely confident that even though it is taking time, it will work.
Sometimes devotees preach in such a way, so you might not be very enthusiastic to pass that in kirtan. They'll tell you, you know, just pass that in anyway, you become enthusiastic. Mm-hmm. Is that the enthusiasm which is being spoken here, or?
Here, dancing in kirtan with enthusiasm is nice, but here it is talking about practicing the process. Not just one aspect of the process like dancing. Getting up in the morning, early in the morning, attending the morning programs, chanting your rounds nicely. So we have to do all these for our own spiritual benefit. Mm-hmm. So that is the enthusiasm and then the confidence. I've been chanting the holy name for the last 10 years, but so what happened? I'm not really making any spiritual progress. Okay, first point is that a devotee, when he makes spiritual advancement, he doesn't feel that he's making it. Rather, it works the other way around. The more you advance, the more you will feel that how much you have to do. So, the practice of the process actually is not really going to make us feel that, oh, now I have become pure devotee. Rather, it will make us feel so it's practically impossible for me to be. But still, since Prabhupada wanted, our Guru wanted, that's why I'll continue to do it. Right? And then we have to have the confidence that I'm practicing and it will have the benefit. It will have the benefit. It may take 10 years, but what is 10? I've been in the movement for 10 years. What's 10 years compared to 10 billion lifetimes that you have? So many years of forgetfulness of Krishna, can it be revived just overnight? What is 10 years? Our mood should be, let it take life after me. I'm prepared. But let me pray that I never deviate from the path of Krishna. Pray to Krishna that at least I can stay in this path and never deviate. Then, at least it's guaranteed that someday I will reach. Because the path is leading to that destination. This path is leading to Krishna. So if I stay on this path, in course of time I will go to Krishna. But devotee's mood is not that he doesn't think that going back to Krishna is the ultimate goal of Krishna. He considers that to serve, to render service to Krishna is the ultimate goal. I am a servant. So what is my main occupation? What is the servant's occupation? Mm-hmm. Servant's occupation is to serve the master. So if I can serve the master, does it matter where I am? Does it matter whether I am here or there? Because if I am serving here, then that's my service to the Lord. And it's I'm doing my duty. So I don't have to worry about anything. Mm-hmm.
And then when I visited intelligence, does it mean with knowledge? With knowledge is
knowledge. You see, here I would say, what is the best intelligence? The best intelligence is, if I'm a servant, the best intelligence is to find out what is the most pleasing way to my master. What will be the most pleasing, which service will be most pleasing. Right? How do I find that out? Then, yeah. And if I use my intelligence, then what I'll do? I'll find somebody who is close to my master. Right? Who knows my master. And I can ask him, what's the best way to please me? What kind of service I can do? And who is that person who is close to the Lord and instructs us? So the real intelligent thing is to serve Krishna under the guidance of the world. Because otherwise we may not know what you may want. Krishna may want a glass of water, but if I take him a bottle of milk, will you please Krishna? He wants a glass of water, so I have to give him a glass. How do I find out that Krishna wants a glass of water now? If there is somebody who is with Krishna, and he knows who Krishna, what Krishna was, and if he tells me, then I can do it. So, any other question? Okay.
In the beginning you said that you don't need approval from the GBC if you want to become a guru.
Okay. He is saying that I mentioned that to be a guru you don't need the approval of the GBC. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving you the order. The point is that real guru, who is a guru? One who preaches Krishna. So if you preach Krishna consciousness, you are a guru.
If we are such a big institution, you are known then.
Right. I mean, the thing is that in order to preach, you don't have to have the approval of Jesus, because it's already there.
Just from preaching part, you have to become a guru.
And when you're preaching, you're already a guru. Right? You may not be the initiating guru, but you are a shiksha guru. When you're instructing about Krishna, you are assuming the role of a spiritual guru. And then if the GBC thinks that you will be a great guru and it will be beneficial for ISKCON, the GBC can tell you, you give an instruction. So as you say, like for the sake of the institution, we have to have this standard. We have to have certain rules and regulations and decorum. So that is, to be an initiating spiritual master, one has to have the recommendation and approval of the guru. But to become a shiksha guru or bhakma pradarsha guru, to teach, as you are going out to preaching, you are going to go to the guru, and that's a real guru. Yeah. The initiation is formality. But because it's an institution, they have to see that the initiating spiritual master is qualified. That's why the consideration is recommended.
Initiation is only formality?
only formality in the sense, you see, there is rules and regulations, Vaidhi Bhakti. So initiation is more of a formality, in the sense it's not the only formality. It is spiritual, but it is a formality. It's a formal formality, because then there is a ritual how it is done. Like for example, to accept shiksha from some devotee or to listen to some devotee preaching, we don't have to have any formal relationship. But to receive mantra and to surrender yourself officially to somebody, that is initiation. That's why it's a formality. You are actually accepting officially somebody that you are going to surrender yourself.
Still has the power,
yeah, like naturally, because the whole thing is not that it's just formality, but it is a formality. Whereas shiksha, there is no formality. Diksha is a formality. Why it's a formality? It's a beating, it's a procedure. Yes.
When I first joined, well, before I knew, before I went to the temple, I met this woman. She had a baby in Berkeley, California. and I was looking for a cheap place to eat. She said, "Oh, no, they aren't any, but there is a place where you can eat for nothing." And she said the Hare Krishna temple. Because I had read a book, but the first book in French, in the south of France, somehow or other, I got hold of the book. As soon as she said that, I thought, "Oh, yes, I want to know where is the temple." And not only she gave me the directions, but she also preached to me. And then later on, after I joined the temple, she was coming to the temple every Sunday. She's a person who never practiced. She was chanting Hare Krishna, but she wasn't following, the rules and regulations. But I found out, I was told that she was like my Bhakti Dashaka Guru, that preaching is so powerful that even if you can't quite follow the principles, as long as you have the enthusiasm to share what you've been given, that is preaching.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that is very powerful.
Yeah.
That you change my life without
other
qualifications.
She is a spiritual master. Yeah, she is the Bhatma Pradesha Guru. Bhatma, B-A-R-V-A-R-T-M-A, Pradarsha, P-R-A-D-A-R-S-H-A, Bhatma Pradarsha Guru. Bhatma means path, Pradarsha means showing, and Guru, the Guru who shows you the path. Pradarsha. P-R-A-D-A-R-S-A-T. Bhatma Pradarsha Guru. There are three types of gurus: Bhatma Pradarsha Guru, Shiksha Guru, and Diksha Guru. But actually, Bhatma Pradarsha Guru also is a kind of Shiksha Guru. So there are two gurus: Shiksha Guru and Diksha Guru. So I thought, since today is Sunday, full class is not here, maybe today we don't do two classes. Today just do this one class. Because you all need a break. And I'm also a little weak today. And as I say, I will try to squeeze in another class that I'm skipping today. If I can't, then I'll cover all the verses in one class, fit in. So, any question or comment or suggestion, advice? Yes, Emmanuel.
Maharaj has a statement in the scriptures that says if you don't take shelter of a spiritual master, that Krishna doesn't accept your service. And someone in my situation right now, involved in living, and very fruitful service. I mean, I haven't fully taken shelter of anyone, but I'm under some authority. I mean, is Krishna accepting my service? Or?
Yeah, sure. Because you see, when you came to ISKCON, you have surrendered yourself to someone, isn't it? Joining ISKCON means you have surrendered to Srila Prabhupada, isn't it? Like, you are following Srila Prabhupada's instruction, you are following the procedure that has been given by Srila Prabhupada in the form of ISKCON. So Srila Krishna will accept your service. And another thing is, you see, Krishna is very kind. Krishna doesn't really care so much about that. You know, he sees your heart. If your intention is pure, Krishna will accept. But it is important also to surrender officially to someone. Because just joining ISKCON and not surrendering to anybody is also not right. Because that means you're not really fully surrendering. Because, you see, this process is actually the process of surrender. And devotional service is a process of sadhanagati. Sadhanagati means surrender. And you know what this process of surrender is like? It is like at first we surrender to one person. And as we make advancement, we start to increase our field of surrender, area of surrender. We surrender to more and more. And then finally, you know, what an uttam adhikari, a pure devotee, Modi, he surrenders to everybody, whether one is a devotee or not. He surrenders to everybody. He thinks that everyone is a pure devotee, only he himself couldn't be a pure devotee. So that is how spiritual life works. At a neophyte stage, we think that I am the only devotee and everyone else is just practicing. And many of them are not really sincere. And most of them will not make it. Right? That is a neophyte understanding. Then Madhyama Adhikari, the second class devotee, how does he feel? He sees Krishna is God, Krishna's devotees are my friends. Innocent people, those who don't have, didn't get Krishna consciousness, I have, must preach to them. And those who are offensive to Krishna, I stay away from them. Discrimination. That's the Madhyama Adhikari. But Uttama Adhikari, he thinks everyone is a devotee, only he himself could be. Now, doesn't it work in a reverse order? The more you advance, the more you realize that you haven't become a devotee. So, this is a process of surrender. So, the more we advance, the more surrendered we become. Therefore, there is a need to officially surrender to someone. And then it will happen spontaneously. You see some advanced devotee and your heart will automatically feel surrendered to him. There is no need for any formality. There is no need for sitting in a sacrificial fire and formally accepting as your guru. In your heart you feel that he is a person who is helping me in my spiritual life. And I must be thankful to him, I must be grateful to him, I must take his guidance. So that is the shiksha relationship. Therefore, the shiksha relationship is actually more important than diksha, ultimately. Therefore, it says, Shiksha Guru ke to jani, Krishna ro shabu. And even in case of diksha also, shiksha is the important element. What is the use of diksha if there is no shiksha? Like there are so many people, they are giving initiation, you know, but no guidance. They give initiation, like, you know, some people in India, 20,000 people give an initiation in one go. And it's a very cheap initiation. People think, oh, I got initiation. But they don't see the guru, they don't get the instruction from the guru. On the other hand, we see what Prabhupada had done. Prabhupada had created ISKCON. And this structure is so wonderful that even if you are not initiated, still you are getting the shiksha to make spiritual advancement. So ultimately the instruction, the guidance, the knowledge, the information is most important. Yes, Vasudev Prabhu.
I have a question in this regard. Isn't there a protocol still with shiksha and shiksha relationship, where if you take instruction from someone, if you have requested and there is a formal relationship going on, isn't there a certain etiquette that the disciple has certain obligations that he is not to accept many shiksha gurus lightly without consulting first, because it can be easy that we only have one Diksha Guru, but we can have so many Shiksha Gurus, so I accept the instructions I like, and I reject the instructions I like.
Yeah. Now, you see, spiritual life ultimately is a matter of internal development, spiritual development, soul's development. So although it begins with formality, rules and regulations, vaidhi bhakti, but ultimately it will come to the point of, you know, pure love or spontaneity. Spontaneous. You know, what is spontaneous? From within, from the heart. Now, can you legislate a heart's relationship? It is there, right? And it will happen. The ultimate consideration of shiksha is in that heart. Like developing a deep relationship, of course, that happens. In a way, it happens automatically with Diksha Guru, because you know you have officially accepted. You know, at least you know there are so many devotees who are influencing my spiritual life. But at least let me surrender myself to one person. Right. So formally, you are accepting him. That cannot be taken lightly. So you are actually, you know, like automatically, you are developing a relationship. And in a way, that Diksha Guru is automatically a Shiksha Guru. But there are many other Shiksha Gurus also. Like, for example, when you join the movement, who is actually giving us the Shiksha? Yes, that is there, but also the Bhakta program leader is teaching us, so he's the Shiksha Guru. The temple president is guiding us, engaging us, taking care of us. The Shiksha Guru. The senior devotees who are coming and giving classes and guiding us. Shiksha Guru. But then comes the point of Diksha. So yes, we are formalizing that at least one person I'll identify as my guide in this book. And now this is another thing. In ISKCON, you see, Diksha Guru has a specific, not only Diksha Guru, both Diksha Gurus and Shiksha Gurus have a specific mission. Because they are representing ISKCON. Their mission is to guide their disciples towards ISKCON, engage them in ISKCON, and bring them to Srila Prabhupada. If ISKCON was not there, the relationship would have been different. Guru-disciple relationship would have been different. But because we are functioning as a part of ISKCON, the Gurus are functioning as a part of ISKCON, they naturally have an obligation towards ISKCON. Like if you are working for some company, then you get a customer, you bring the customer to the company. Right? But if it was your own business, then the customer would have been your customer. But here, because you're representing the company, your customers are actually the company's customers. So similarly, since we are representing ISKCON, you know, our disciples, our people that we are preaching to, they are ISKCON's asset, ISKCON's property. Yes?
Okay.
Yeah, I will say, for example, you are preaching. Right? When you preach, where do you bring your people to? You automatically bring them to ISKCON, right? So you're acting as a guru on behalf of ISKCON, isn't it? And then, after you bring them to ISKCON, then ISKCON will decide how to guide them. Okay. And also it is not, you see, ultimately we all are not gurus. We are simply servants. Therefore, we should not consider this position of guru to be, you know, very exclusive or very, you know, coveted. Like it is a responsibility. It should be seen like that. It's a duty, right? But you know, like problem is, you see, when we bring exclusivity, then it creates problems. Like for example, there is a, you know, some devotees are washing pots. Now if you make the position of a pot washer to be the highest position in ISKCON, then you will find that everybody is running to become a pot washer. Why? Because there is a lot of, you know, honor and glory in that. So we should be careful about, you know, not making things very exclusive. Well, somebody is qualified and he is doing it for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sake, as a service, as you said, as his duty. We should take everything as our duty. Some service will bring some more prestige, more honor, more glory, and some other service may not. But we should not think in that way. We should not think about this service is better and this service is more. Like as devotees, we should consider that every service is equal. Because every service is for Krishna. But what happens, some positions require greater qualification, therefore they are considered to be exalted. Like, to be a pot washer, you don't need much qualification. But to be a temple president, you have to have a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge, a lot of ability. Therefore, everybody cannot become a temple president. But anybody can be a pot washer. Anybody can wash pot. But anybody and everybody cannot become a temple president. Temple president needs to have, you know, a lot of abilities and qualities. Therefore, certain amount of honor comes to the position of a temple president. He has some power, he has some control, he has some authority. Right? So we have to recognize that well, because he's qualified, he's getting known. Someday if I become qualified, there will be a lot of money offered to me. Krishna may, what to speak of a temple president, Krishna may make me a GBC. What to speak of it? You see, Krishna will make the ruler of the whole earth planet. When Krishna sees that I'm calling. What to speak of the ruler of the entire earth planet? Krishna may make me the king of the demigods in heaven, Indra. Can Krishna do that? Krishna can make me Brahma if he wants. So it's a matter of just becoming qualified and Krishna will. Krishna will indeed be just according to him. But we are, on our part, we should maintain a humble attitude and we should not be envious about it. If somebody has a big position, we shouldn't become envious. We should think, well, he is rendering a very valuable service, so Krishna is giving him a lot of performance. And whatever service Krishna is giving me is wonderful. I'm so happy to be in Krishna. I'm so happy to be in Krishna. Isn't it wonderful to be in this country? Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.